The session this afternoon is entitled Men in a Sexist Society, and to address that theme we have Steve Douthit and Steve Coleman speaking in that order, followed by a period set aside for questions and general discussion. So without further ado, can I introduce you to Steve Douthit?
A couple of weeks ago I was told a story, as the so-called comedian would say, and by somebody not 1,000 miles away from where I'm standing now. And he said that when he was at school, a PE teacher said to him that he would have to jump over a wooden horse. And he didn't want to jump over a wooden horse. And so the PE teacher called him a big woman. And in good sort of socialist response, the socialist called him a big prick. but you see, this illustrates quite well the type of expected behaviour that men are supposed to display in our society. Boys should be brave, they have no fears about jumping over wooden horses, but kind of what jumping over wooden horses is supposed to teach us, because I don't see many of them in Caledonian Road. But probably the only type of horses you do see. But that's what we're supposed to be like. Women are supposed to be gentle, emotional and maternal, and men, we're competitive, aggressive and dominant. And this differentiation between the sexes can be summarised by one of its proponents, a Mr. Enoch Powell, somebody you can always depend on, sort of now and he's, you know, colours to the mask. And this is what he said, and I want you to listen to the words carefully, because it really does illustrate this point quite well. Let me quote. Men and women have distinct social functions, with men as fighters and women responsible for creating and preserving life. Societies can be destroyed by teaching themselves myths which are inconsistent with the nature of man. Unfortunately for us, and luckily enough for Enoch, he doesn't go on to give us any examples of societies which have fallen apart because men have behaved differently or women have behaved differently. But there you are. But the question is, why is it that men and women grow up believing that these social functions exist? And that's what I want to look at now. And I believe that part of the origin of this belief is the general socialisation and educational process which children are taught. And like young women in our society, boys and young men are also subject to the pressures and encouragement to fit their so-called natural roles. And some examples of these, again, is best shown by the type of comics that boys read. And I want to show you some of these. I want to pick some up. First one is one you probably won't know, or you probably will know. It's called Daredevil. And you see on the front is the man without fear. See, this is all for sort of portraying that sort of image. And inside, there's an advert of all these exciting games which young boys presumably can buy. And they can learn to do the following things. And I'll just read out what they say you can do here. You can whip, dribble, spin, rescue, duck, hurdle, bombard, screen, roll, dive, pass, evade, sprint, raid, dunk, hurl, loop, leap, capture, stab, defend, shoot, invade, blast, escape, attack, jump, and swerve. Right. So, leaves you in no doubt of what the intention of something like that, sort of the image that's trying to portray. The second one I picked up, again, just coincidental, you know, just happened to be passing, is Eagle. Again, there's the dominant man, the aggressive man, the fighter. And inside, there's some interesting features. The first one is called Manta Force, and that is supposed to stand for Multiple Air, Naval and Terrain Assault Force. This is the parallels between that, when I read it through, and the East-West conflict are very striking, pardon the pun. Another one I saw here was a feature called Computer Warrior. Again, you see the sort of words they use, Computer Warrior. And the little sort of caption, the intro here, says this. It says, Bobby Patterson had been drawn into his home computer's real-life facility and forced to take part in a series of tests to find the ultimate warrior. Yeah. So, again, it's that image that's sort of trying to give over. And lastly, and I know that we'll all know this one, the Beano. Now, come on, admit it, you've all read the Beano. Now, not this week. Yeah. Well, this is this week, so you can't have it. No, but why did I pick out the Beano? I mean, this is not really that aggressive, is it? I mean, it's pretty harmless stuff. But in some ways, this is more subtle and more indicative of the type of example I'm trying to give. You all know the cover character is Dennis the Menace, and the first caption starts off with, I'm in a menacing mood today, and he's strolling along the road. But the type of people he picks on are also important, I think, because they're skinny, with glasses, you know, not dressed tough like he's supposed to be. That sort of wimpish sort of attitude, that sort of image that they're sort of not really masculine. They're not really men. They're not really young boys, tough young boys as they should be. They're the victims of Dennis. But it's well known that the Dennises of this world do exist. And at school, I was one of those boys who was bullied by those who acted aggressively and wanted to be dominant. You were picked on at school because you were small, as in my case, or you were fat, or you wore glasses, or you spoke funny. And if you happened to be small, fat, and wore glasses, and also talked funny, then it was wise to stay at home. And, of course, most of those people that fell into that category did so. But at school, there are also a lot of boys who suffered from others acting out the male traits of aggression and dominance, or supposed traits. And there are others who were subject to even greater, or I would say greater suffering. If you shied away from the type of things that boys were supposed to do, then you would receive abuse from others. And it's interesting to note the type of abuse words that are used, not just by boys to boys, but men to men. You're called a big woman, a pansy, a mother's boy, girlish, effeminate, or even sometimes you're called a puff or a queer, you know, to sort of like question your sexuality. And all these words share a common denominator, as you've probably realised. They all challenge, you know, the basis of the victim's sort of masculinity. They all say that you're not one of us, you're not really tough and fearless, but you're one of them, as to say, you know, indication of women, weak and emotional. But this type of intimidation does not just happen, as I said, between boys, but also between men. The white feather treatment given to men who refused to fight in the First World War is a classic example of this type of intimidation. The white feather supposedly representing that man's cowardice from fighting in the war. And of course, it is often in times of war when men are openly encouraged to be competitive, aggressive, and dominant. Behaviour which serves the interests of those who have something to go to war about. But I'm not going to say too much about the relationship between those two, because I know that Steve will be drawing a lot of historical references after I've spoken. But now I want to go back and look at the supposed male traits and how they affect men as opposed to how they affect women, if you get what I mean. And these are just my thoughts on the subject. Of course, competitiveness, dominance and aggression are all connected, but I want to try to isolate them in order to make a few points and try to draw a few conclusions. I'll start off with competitiveness. Competition, of course, encouraged, creates a great deal of general ill health amongst men. If you look in the business community, where competition, you could argue, is at its greatest, there is a considerable amount of evidence to suggest that that type of competition leads directly to those men involved in suffering from ill health, heart attacks and heart disease and things of this kind. And of course, it doesn't only have effects on their health, but also on their, puts a strain on their personal relationships. And the isolation which many men experience from each other, which cuts them off from each other, also has its origins, I would argue, partly in the competition which is encouraged between men. And an illustration of this is that often, it's been my experience, that men do not talk to each other, they talk at each other. I'm going to say a few words now about dominance. The need to appear dominant also has, of course, its consequences. Our society is based upon power relationships, and there are many men who substitute the lack of control and power over their own lives with domination over the women in their lives. The need to appear dominant means that many men find it difficult to show their emotions, particularly the emotion of, or you know, the trait of weakness. And talk about their problems, find it difficult to talk about their problems, which means, if you talk about your problems, you're giving an indication that you're not really fully in control of the situation. And I think this also gets back to the supposed position that men should be dominant of what's going on around them, their circumstances in their lives. And lastly, just want to make a few points on aggression. Now, men in their social functions as fighters, to use Powell's words, are primarily the victims of aggression as it manifests itself in the form of war. They are the victims, if you like, of their own aggression. And in peacetime, a high percentage of reported crimes against persons, and I say reported crimes as against those crimes which are not reported, right, are committed primarily by young men against other young men. And this is another example of how they're victims of their own supposed traits. And these are a few examples that came into my head, and I, want that to sort of stimulate some discussion afterwards. But I think it's important to make clear that what I'm saying, and I've indicated this, is not a definitive statement by the Socialist Party on this issue. I've tried to look, albeit briefly, at some of the effects on men of living in a sexist society. And in doing so, I'm not arguing, that men and women suffer equally as victims in a sexist society, because I do not believe that to be the case. What I've tried to illustrate, however, and what I say I would like us to discuss, is that men are equally subject to enormous pressure to fit their supposed social roles, and that and that there are men who pay the price for either being unable to, or not wanting to behave as men are supposed to. And every time a boy is bullied at school by the local Dennis the Menace, that is a price that men pay for living in a sexist society. And every time a PE teacher calls one of his pupils a big woman, that is also the price we pay. And every time a conscientious objector is labelled as a coward and imprisoned and intimidated, we also pay a price. And every time a gay man is beaten up by the local heavies, who want to prove how tough they are and also to prove to themselves that their sexuality is beyond question, we also pay the price. And it's also important to remember that the social role allocated to women and the sexism that they face as a result is a reflection of the social roles and behaviour played out by men. And that is why I think it's important that we talk about the male social role and the attitudes that go with it. We either agree with the, excuse the jargon, the biological deterministic view that men and women display certain traits and behaviour in accordance with their genetic character. That's to say, i.e. that we would be going against the grain of human nature to try to change how women, men and women act and relate to each other. We either agree with that, or we agree with the view that it is indeed human nature itself, our shared propensity to behave in different ways and modify our social relationships and environment, which allows us to overcome the constraints imposed and division created by sexism. In a word, it is our biology, our shared biology, that sets us free. What we urgently need is a large enough socialist movement to successfully challenge and defeat the ideas which perpetuate sexism in our society. And to secure that end, your political participation is vital.